This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Welcome back here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, AM 950, 95.7 ESPN Rochester, preparing you for Bills Redskins Sunday at New Era Field.
Yeah, so the Bills favored in this game, obviously. So much to get to. Our guest here, Craig Hoffman, who is the Redskins beat reporter for our sister station in D.C., 106.7, The Fan. Craig, let's get right to it. We'll get to Trent Williams here in a second, but who might we see at quarterback for Washington this Sunday?
I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins. He's a guy that is getting all the reps this week, or the lion's share of the reps this week. Case Keenum has been in concussion protocol since he went down at the end of the Minnesota game, and he hasn't been able to be cleared yet. So assuming that that doesn't change by Sunday, considering he has continued to be third reps-wise this week, I think it's going to be Dwayne Haskins on Sunday.
Craig, anything to interim head coach Bill Callahan basically stating that if he does clear protocol, regardless of how many reps he got in practice this week, he'll be the starter on Sunday? I mean, if he's cleared, he's in, right?
Yeah, no, that's the plan. And we'll see. I don't think that if he's going to be cleared. But if he is, they'll play him. They are not wanting to play Dwayne Haskins yet for whatever reason. And, it's Case Keenum's job. So as long as it's Case Keenum's job, if he's clear, he's going to play, and it doesn't seem to matter what the practice situation is.
Craig, clear up something for us here in regards to the former coach Jay Gruden and upper management, maybe ownership. Was there a divide in selecting Haskins in the first place, and secondly, the timetable to play him?
Yeah, absolutely. I think there was less separation on the timetable to play him, as seen by the fact that Bill Callahan is going to do whatever Bruce Allen says, and he hasn't played yet. But to select him, absolutely. Ownership wanted to take him, and Bruce was the one to execute that on ownership's behalf. But Jay and Kevin O'Connell, the offensive coordinator, and their scouts, and anybody on the quote-unquote football side of things knew that Dwayne Haskins was a giant project. Not that he wasn't talented, not that they didn't like him as a kid or as a young man, his character, anything like that. They just knew that they were a staff that is possibly going to get fired, and that obviously came true. Jay ain't here anymore. And that they didn't have the time to develop this guy. And they wanted someone at the 15th pick who could help them now, which is a very reasonable ask. So they did not want Dwayne Haskins. Their scouts had a second-round grade, I believe, on him, was their final grade, from what I remember in my draft stuff, which is now is obviously a while ago. But there was definite separation there. And the Montez Sweat trade back into the first round on some level was like a compromise. Like, hey, all right. Hey, he's still on the board. We'll go get you the other guy. Let's make this trade. And this is the guy you wanted. Now everybody's happy.
Just because you brought him up, how good has Montez Sweat been this year for the Redskins?
He has been, I think, a lot better than people realize. I think there was this idea because of his combine numbers that he was going to be this, like, Von Miller-type player. That's not who he is. Ironically, one of the best comparisons for him is Ryan Kerrigan on his own team, who lines up opposite him. He's just a lot faster, straight-line speed. So what you've seen is him struggle a little bit as a pass rusher. He's getting a little bit better week by week. You're noticing him a little bit more, but he's been sensational against the run. He's super strong, can stand guys up, and then with that running ability, he gets gone. He gets down the line of scrimmage, is able to make plays on the outside. You see him running down guys on the perimeter all the time. So I think Montez Sweat's actually had a fairly good rookie season, even if it has not been the kind of rookie season that a lot of people thought he was going to have.
Craig Hoffman, 106.7, The Fan in D.C., our guest here. Craig, the Buffalo Bills got pushed around by Philadelphia, allowing 218 yards on the ground last week. You go back the week before that, even Miami had success running the ball. So the question leading up to Adrian Peterson, what's your sense with AP? Do you think Washington can run the ball against this Bills defense?
I think they're going to try. I mean, the difference is that, like, Philly's got Carson Wentz, who's real good and can make plays, and you have to respect what they have offensively in the passing game. With the Redskins, you just load up against the run, and if Dwayne Haskins beats you, then something went really right for Dwayne Haskins that hasn't happened yet this year. Or frankly, Case Keenum, if he's out there, you know, he's had one good half this year, and he has been fairly pedestrian. I thought he was actually pretty good in that first half against Minnesota before he got hurt, but they still hadn't put up any touchdowns. They haven't scored a touchdown in an insanely long amount of time. I think at this point it's like 9 quarters. Mm. So, I think because of the game plan you can play against them, it's going to be a lot harder for the Redskins to accomplish what the Eagles did, but they will certainly look at that tape and see if they can repeat some of that. The question is, can the Bills shore it up? Obviously, in time, they're a very, very good defense with a lot of smart players. So I feel like they're going to have attempts. So they might hit 100 yards, but it might take 35 attempts, and I don't know that the Redskins can win that game.
And Craig, correct us if we're wrong, but AP and Chris Thompson both absent from practice the last 2 days. Maybe you can update us on today's participation?
Yeah, Chris is going to be out. He didn't practice today again, but Adrian was back. I think part of it was, you know, he's been dealing with an ankle injury. He actually had the play that he fumbled at the end of the San Francisco game. If anybody decided to watch that game, God bless you. I got beat down paid to. But Adrian had a play in that game where he fumbled late, and he fumbled basically because his ankle was about to break. And he had a low and a high ankle sprain from that. Played against Minnesota. They gave him Wednesday off, which they normally do, and then they've been inside on their field or in their practice bubble on turf the last 2 days. So I'd assume that probably influenced him not playing yesterday. I kind of wonder if he would have practiced had they been on grass yesterday. But he was back in practice today, even though they were in the bubble on the turf, and I anticipate him playing on Sunday.
Craig Hoffman, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Let's get to Trent Williams, the story, the cancerous growth that the doctors, the Redskins, didn't pick up on. Is this headed toward a lawsuit, in your opinion, Craig?
I think it could be. I think it's definitely headed towards grievances. Whether it actually winds up in court with a lawsuit versus like NFL arbitration in a more standard kind of dispute, I don't know yet, but... You know, the Redskins yesterday said that they're commissioning this third-party investigation. That's, you know, someone approved by the NFL and the NFLPA to look into the claims that Williams made. And I don't know exactly to what end they're doing that. Is it so they can sue him for some kind of, you know, libel or whatever, you know, that falls under? Is it just for contractual purpose? Or is it just a giant screw you in the court of public opinion? I don't know yet. That is not clear to me, and I've asked for some clarity, and you know, a lot of it's like, well, we don't know yet either. And the really, you know, the person who knows the answers to this stuff is Bruce Allen, and he doesn't ever talk. And I think if he did talk, he would just hide behind HIPAA laws, even though, you know, some of this doesn't even have to do with that. So it's a very bizarre situation in 100 ways. And where it heads, I think, could be kind of unique to NFL territory. A lot of this stuff does wind up in court. And I think there's some stuff here that the Redskins probably don't want in court. But then again, they feel like they haven't done anything wrong. So, and they are certainly not afraid to be litigious as an organization. They've proven that time and again over the years. So I am very curious to see this land.
So, Craig, let's just play it out and say that the Redskins don't toll Trent Williams' contract and he still has 2 years remaining on it heading into this offseason. They can make a trade for Trent Williams with 2 years left on his deal. What's that worth to another team? What's that worth to Washington? What do you think Trent Williams goes for this offseason if they do indeed eventually trade this player?
Well, I will say that there's very little chance that the contract tolls. So toll actually means extend, and so it's probably going to have 1 year left on the contract. Almost any of the scenarios that play out, including him getting put on NFI where they might not, the non-football injury list, where they don't necessarily have to pay him, but the contract is still going to count. So it's probably going to be 1 year left, which is massive in terms of the trade value. Now a new team is going to have to extend him anyway, but they lose leverage. So that makes it a little bit different of a negotiation. Like, well, maybe we won't give you an extension. It's 2 years left versus 1 year left, especially for a player who is as good as Williams. I think they can get, like, I think they want a first-round pick, and they're going to try to play hardball for one. I don't know, with 1 year left on that contract and a guy who hasn't played football in a year, if they get it. I think you're looking at second, maybe third-round pick. You know, maybe a team gets desperate. Maybe a team like Cleveland that was willing to give up a first-rounder this year looks at their team next offseason and goes, geez, the reason that we're not there is because we didn't have a good enough offensive line. Let's go ahead and sign Trent Williams. Or trade for Trent Williams. Maybe the Patriots, who were flirting around with the first round pick, do it. But I honestly don't know, man. It's going to be a weird, weird thing. And I think it depends on how ugly this gets, too. Like, how much is Williams dragged through the mud, and do other teams look at this as legitimately dragging him through the mud because there's actual dirt there? Or is it like, oh, God, the Redskins, that embarrassment, they're doing the thing again, and they, it doesn't count against Trent Williams at all? And I tend to think it's going to be that direction. You talk to other people around the league about this organization, and they just, like, I tell them I cover the Redskins, and they're like, oh, how's that? Their reputation's about as good as everyone thinks it is.
Craig, just because you brought up Cleveland, I'm so curious to know what that was like, because we had heard rumors that Cleveland was offering that first rounder, but Washington didn't activate on it quick enough, or it, you know, it came down to the wire, and by the time it came down to trade deadline day, basically both parties just went their separate ways. What do you know about that rumor?
So as far as I know, and working a little bit with Daryl Ryder, who's our version of me in Cleveland, our Browns beat reporter at our sister station at 92.3, you know, he was saying that the Browns were really not willing to part with a first-rounder, were really reluctant to part with a first-rounder because they traded, obviously, their first-rounder last year in the Odell Beckham trade. They didn't want to give it up in back-to-back years, but perhaps earlier in the season they would have been willing to. But by the time that the trade deadline came, the Browns' season is pretty much dead. Like, why would you trade a first-rounder now? That first-rounder is going to be good, and your season's on the brink of disaster. So adding Trent Williams now doesn't really help you a whole lot. Had they done it in week two, they're probably worth a first-rounder, and maybe the Browns are on the way to the playoffs, and everyone's happy with that trade. So that's the thing that is kind of mystifying, and what pissed the Browns off so much is just, like, why didn't you do this then? If you were going to be willing to do it, why didn't you do it then? We would have given you the first-rounder. And now all of a sudden the Redskins are like, we want a first-rounder or Denzel Ward, the fourth overall pick, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Like, that's not going to happen. It's an unreasonable request from Washington. And so the Browns didn't, A, want to make that trade, and B, they didn't want to bail the Redskins out. Nobody wanted to help Washington after what they've done and how they've handled this, because they've been so against even listening to calls. Like, the Patriots called, and the Redskins literally hung up on them. Like, hey, we want to talk about Trent. Click. Like, I mean, maybe it was like, we're not interested, click. But it's some version of one of those two things. So the idea that another team was going to come and bail them out, it wasn't going to happen. And that was certainly a part of this story.
Well, is there a lack of self-awareness in that organization? Meaning, do they not understand that right now they're in a rebuilding project, whether they realize it or not, with an interim head coach, with a rookie quarterback? I'm shocked that they didn't, not just Williams, why weren't they a player at all selling off parts here at the deadline?
I don't know. I honestly don't have a good answer for you, and I don't know why. I mean, again, like, the people at the top of that organization, it's really Bruce Allen, and that's it. You know, so, and Bruce doesn't talk to us. Bruce, it's very hard to get a feel for what the decision makers want to do, because there's one decision maker and he doesn't talk. And so I don't know why. It doesn't make any sense. You know, Ryan Kerrigan, I guess I understand a little bit, because he's been a lifelong Redskin. Even as part of a rebuild, he's the kind of veteran you want around, just does everything the right way, never misses a practice, has never missed a game. So I understand that one. But, like, Josh Norman, not flipping for anything, you know, maybe the market was that dead, but, like, what are you holding out for? Get a compensatory, you know, whatever, or a conditional seventh rounder that if he picks off a pass becomes a sixth, and if they make the playoffs becomes a fifth, or whatever it is. Like, figure it out. There's got to be a team that could use him. And for Trent, obviously, you save yourself all this public drama, the headache, all that kind of stuff with trading him. And you're looking at a draft next year where you're going to have a new head coach that's going to want to put the roster in his, you know, the way he sees football. You might have you're probably going to have a new defensive staff, and maybe you're even switching from a 3-4 to a 4-3. You need to fill out that part of it. And you already traded your second rounder this year in last year's draft to go up and get Montez Sweat, who we talked about earlier. So I can't possibly begin to tell you why they didn't do that. It makes all of the sense in the world. But I don't know. It is the very short version of that answer.
Craig Hoffman, 106.7 The Fan, our radio.com sister station in Washington, D.C., giving us a few minutes of his time here in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Craig, fresh off of a World Series championship for the Nats. You're a couple years removed now from the Caps winning the Stanley Cup. I've got to imagine both of those fan bases are extremely energized and extremely enthusiastic and positive every year that comes around. just let us know the state of the Washington Redskins fan base right now. I mean, we still see them coming out, and I got to imagine there's incredible frustration. But what are they like? What are the Washington Redskins fans thinking about this team in 2019?
It's a pretty bitter and depleting fan base. Like, my Twitter replies are a disaster. If I just want to be in a bad mood, I can go on Twitter at all times. It's not a very happy fan base at all, because they just... The corner is turning from like angry to hopeless, and the more stuff that happens where the leadership doesn't change, the more, you know, people are just going like, why would I give any effort? Why would I give any emotion to the team? And that's I think what we're looking at is a very, very decreased in terms of number and passion fan base that is honestly an issue for the league at this point. Like, this is one of the biggest and proudest franchises and fan bases that we've seen in the NFL in their 100-year history, and it is at an all-time low. That's not good for the league, and I think there are repercussions for that all around, TV ratings, money, revenue, whatever, and it's embarrassing, frankly, and the people in charge don't seem to even realize that they have a problem.
What happened with Daniel Snyder when he showed up on the scene? He seemed to be the rival to Jerry Jones. I'm going to buy myself a Deion Sanders. I'm going to buy Bruce Smith away from the Buffalo Bills. And we're, you know, you can disagree with the way he tried to do it, but at least he seemed like he was invested. And now it seems from the outside the polar opposite. Is that somewhat accurate?
I mean, he's invested. There's, you know, it's told by many people to me around this organization, or have been told to many people, or by many people to me, that there's no one who wants to win more than Snyder. The problem is he doesn't know how to. You know, empowering someone like Bruce Allen is not how you win, because Bruce doesn't know what he's doing. Clearly, the results are there, and we're a decade into this. But he wants to win. It's just he wants to win his way. He's very stubborn. He can't help himself on the quarterback stuff. You know, and whether it be RG3 or Haskins and anything else, he's not nearly as involved as he used to be, but it's who he empowers that is the problem. And I think that has been the ultimate downfall of him over the course of time, is anytime they're building something, which, I mean, Gruden was building something for sure, but then, you know, they make certain decisions and move on from certain players, and all of a sudden it's all gone to hell again. And so it's like any bad ownership in sports. You can be successful in small spurts, but you're never going to be sustainable unless you have good processes, and this organization just doesn't, because Snyder undercuts them or allows Bruce to undercut them when things get good.
Well, Craig, we sympathize, and we've gone through our own miseries here in upstate New York as Buffalo Bills fans, as you know. And here's the thing. The good news is the offseason is right around the corner. You're going to eventually find a new head coach. And by the way, I hear that there's a guy out there who's very interested and would absolutely want to talk about the Washington Redskins head coaching vacancy. Say hello to Rex Ryan. You already have his brother on your staff. Rex Ryan, new coach of the Washington Redskins. Congratulations.
I've heard he's actually not nearly as fun as you would think. Like, he's way more fun of a character than he is to deal with day to day. I don't know if you guys ever got that, but I mean, he makes for some great Twitter content, but I don't know that that's exactly what this organization needs right now, is more Twitter content.
Oh, he can sell. I mean, that's what he can do. Whether he can coach defense, but as far as
and you let his brother in the door. His brother's in the door. The foot is wedged in there. This is just a matter of time.
Well, we'll see.
Craig, one last question. Give us a flavor of what it's like down there. The parade being on Saturday. What is it like for those fans in D.C. right now?
Well, for me, it's infuriating because I fly up to Buffalo on Saturday morning, and I'm going to miss the whole thing. And the Caps parade was one of my five favorite days of my life. So I'm pretty bummed out, but it's going to be amazing. This Nats team was just so much fun. The dancing in the dugout, the baby shark stuff, like, it was just a fun team to watch be successful. And, you know, to have a contrast with a team like the Astros and all the shenanigans they were pulling was quite fun as well. So it's going to be a massive celebration. It's going to go right down the National Mall, which is always really, really cool, just to see how, like, you know, you got this championship trophy, championship parade right underneath the Washington Monument and right by the Capitol. It's going to be a heck of a day, and people are over the moon. And, like, Dwayne's probably going to start on Sunday, and it's the third biggest story of the week behind the Trent stuff and the Nats winning. So that kind of tells you how big it is right now for the Nationals.
Great stuff, Craig. Really appreciate you giving us some of your time. Safe travels, and don't be a stranger on Sunday. We'll be looking for you.
Absolutely. Looking forward to meeting you guys. Be well.
Craig Hoffman, 106.7 The Fan, D.C., joining us here in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Be good.
All right. See you guys.
There you go. Craig, Gene, you'll run into him at some point on Sunday, right? You're up there in the press box.
Maybe. Yeah. Yep. And since we recorded that conversation, we learned that Dwayne Haskins indeed will be the starting quarterback. That is official.
So anything less than a lopsided Bills victory is going to feel like a disappointment, correct?
Right. If this is a 7-point Bills win, we're going to be having the same conversation that, yeah, you're 6-2, but what are you really?
And it's also how they do it, right? Like, so I'll predict 21-10 Bills. It's an 11-point win. But if it's not a complete 60, if it's sloppy at times, if it's closer than it needs to be at certain points of the game, we're going to feel less than satisfied. Just manage your expectations on that one.
Yeah, I said 23-13 Bills, right at the line. 10-point win for Buffalo, and even that won't feel all that satisfying, trust me.
All Drink to That is on the way next in the sports bar. We have some takes to share. I have a takeaway from last night's game, Thursday Night Football. I don't know if you had the chance to watch it or not, but there is a reason to feel a little bit envious about what's happening in San Francisco if you're a Buffalo Bills fan.
Can we go back to the summer as far as our expectations for this Buffalo Bills team? I'm going to give you just kind of the brief history here, the numbers on why you shouldn't be upset at this team at 5-2, even though you may be thinking, oh, they should compete for a division. I'm going to tell you why you should be happy heading into this weekend, and a blatant double standard from baseball. Here's another one we'll throw your way.
Well, the only standard that exists is a double standard, Gene. We've mentioned that often here in the sports bar. Also, a gambling term that has become gentrified. I'll explain. I'll Drink to That is on the way next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia with some takes on tap. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.